Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Gentlemen.
Hello.
Wait, what? It's Sunday the 2nd of April already.
So it is.
Well, we've just nipped back from, well, JB and Phil, you've nipped back from South Africa to do the pod.
Just a short commute.
No big deal.
And I've nipped back from, where was I? Oh yeah, I would have just been, I just arrived at Yosemite National Park and now I'm flying back as well. Yeah, we're really here in person on Sunday the 2nd of April and this is not in any way, shape or form a pre-prepared podcast. As a result of us synchronising our holidays to minimise disruption. How are you doing, Phil?
I'm good. Good. Having a great time in South Africa. It's wonderful.
How's your trip going so far, JB?
Yeah, great.
Lots of barbecued steak?
Yeah, great. Lots of screaming kids, lots of awful family time. you know, someone selfishly arranging a wedding. You know, if you arrange a wedding in South Africa, you know I've only got one option, that's to take 2 weeks off. So, yeah, great. Really enjoying it.
I think people arrange weddings abroad, I think, basically to stop. Well, I would think it's to actually because they don't want people to go. If you wanted people to come to your wedding, you'd make it easy for people to come to your wedding.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you would. You absolutely would do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm having a great time. Thanks for asking.
Good. Right. Well, let's get on with this very special podcast, our Lions Squad Selection Podcast, Part One, The Forwards. Let's go for this. Hands in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We're just three mates that love the game and are here every single week, 52 weeks of the year, to have a little bit of a natter about it. I'm Tim. You've already heard from JB.
Hello, Tim.
And Phil.
Hello, Tim.
So, a review that's been left on iTunes, and please leave yours. We thank you very much. Don't ask you for much, but 2 minutes of your time to leave a review on iTunes would be great, as Platterface has done. And Platterface says, as a TV weatherman... Oh, I wonder which one he is.
Platterface.
Is he the one? Is he Thomas Schaffernacker, the one that did the swear sign and then
I hope to
scratched
God.
His chin?
I hope to God it's who's the, is it Lisa Val? Lisa, she's got like a Indian surname. Val. Oh, what's her name? Oh, absolutely stunning. I hope it's her.
Well, I'm sure it is her.
I hope
anyway,
it's her.
As a TV weather, it says weatherman.
Oh well.
As a TV,
we mustn't judge.
As a TV weatherman, I've given my fair share of dodgy forecasts, but these guys take the biscuit. The inability to predict the results of rugby matches makes Michael Fish in 1987 look like Nostradamus. If you like listening to a poor man Stato with the personality of an actual actuary, now that's someone who like does insurance stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, predicts mortality tables and that kind of thing.
Brackets Phil, a closet UKIP supporter. Brackets JB. I would have thought that might have been aimed at me.
Yeah.
And Virgin Radio's fifth best known DJ after a woman who won Big Brother in 2002.
Is that what Edith Bowman did?
No, Kate Lawler.
Kate Lawler.
Oh, right. I thought you...
then this is the podcast for you. Puerile and inane. The perfect way to while away an hour that you'll never get back. 5 stars. Thank you very much,
excellent.
Platterface. Superb review.
I wonder if we've started a craze now after our Romania review of people just leaving nasty reviews.
Yeah, I want the more sarcastic and
derogatory
the better. Yeah. Leave a review on iTunes, a really derogatory one. As long as you leave 5 stars, I don't care. Say what you want, it's brilliant. So on this podcast, we're going to be doing what a lot of people I think are doing on just bits of paper while they're wasting time at work, scribbling down what their Lions squad would be. We are going to select in this podcast our Lions forward pack. I've got a Lions quiz prepared. We've got some Lions tour stories from the past. past that are going to make us go all misty-eyed and nostalgic.
I've got a special feature for you as well.
Oh, amazing. But thank you very much for listening. I really, really appreciate it. So, how's this going to work? We're going to... Well, firstly, Phil's got all the stats about how many members of the forward pack are probably going to be selected on April the 19th when Warren Gatland makes his selection.
I do. So... the assumption would be that you'd follow the same formula as last time. Now, there's probably a couple of caveats around that just because of players that can play in multiple positions. For example, last time he had five locks, all of whom were out-and-out locks. Mm-hmm. This time, if you throw someone like Itoje or possibly even Hendo into the mix, then they can play lock and back row. So that might slightly change things, but... last time it was 21 forwards, 16 backs, so 37 players. And of the forwards, we had three hookers, three loose heads, three tight heads.
Makes sense.
Five locks, five flankers, of which there were two who were predominantly blind sides and three that were predominantly open sides, and two number eights.
Now, that's interesting because with front row, it sounds like they've got a lot. I don't think he's got enough.
Well, three hookers is probably... going to be interesting. Three tight heads.
Six of these guys every game. If one of them goes down, say one of your tight heads goes down, that means you're using the same two every game.
Yeah. Well, so last time, obviously this is about the forwards, but last time he only selected two fly halves, which meant that one of them was always playing, with the exception of kind of one game where Hogg moved into fly half.
Hmm. Interesting. So, yeah. See, I'm just kind of surprised that they haven't gone with, say... three tight heads, three hookers, three loose heads, two guys that can do both.
Yeah, yeah. Well, last time they actually had Matt Stevens, who could do both, but he was taken as a tight head. So you only had two plus Matt Stevens.
Remember, it is a shorter format this time as well. There's only 10 games, I think, is it?
Only 10 games?
No, but what I mean by that is actually you could be in that position where you have guys not getting much game time.
Yes. Yeah, it's probably a very difficult balance to strike.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could actually take... you could take four of each, hookers, front rows, loose heads... tight heads, hookers, loose heads, and they could still be playing, what, five games? Because of the rotation.
Oh, yeah. Well, they could still be... Yeah, they'll end up playing more than that, because they'll end up playing... So if you've got props, you've got three props, you're always going to have two props...
Yeah,
two tight heads in your squad, so they're going to be involved in 2/3 of the match day squads.
Yeah.
So they're going to play seven games on average.
Oh, the props are the ones that like to get properly on it as well. They're going to be the ones that have to be on best behaviour.
Exactly.
So let's start with front row then. So here we go then. Our squads of British and Irish Lions. Warren Gatland will be listening to this and taking notes, I'm sure.
Rightly so.
And you can get in touch with us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram, Egg Chasers Podcast. We're on Facebook as well, where you can find video content of all of this. And very soon we'll be on YouTube as well. So just wherever you are, we will be. But loose head prop, shirt number one, three positions up for grabs. Let's go. This is going to be like the Lions selection. With, you know, Andy Farrell and Graham Rowntree and Warren Gatland and Rob Howley.
But with more rugby IQ, I'd guess.
Yeah. And also, I imagine that Rob Howley will, and Warren Gatland's relationship will go... Rob Howley will go, I think this player... And
then, shut up, Rob.
No, that player.
Get up.
Okay, Warren. So, loose head prop.
Okay.
Well, it's going to be Mako. You've got to take Mako.
Mako has to be in there.
I'm writing down Mako.
Yeah, I'm jotting.
Well, actually, let's not say who has to go. Let's just see who can go.
Okay. Mako, Marler, Jack McGrath.
Okay.
Now, is there anyone who's going to be pushing those three for the three shirts?
Well, list the Welsh loose heads.
Rob Jones.
Rob Evans.
Rob Evans, sorry.
Yeah. By the way, love Rob Evans. Love Rob Evans. So
he's a real old school player, isn't
he?
Oh,
he's great. And when the French were busy cheating with their substitutions, he goes up to the ref and goes, "Ref, we're happy, whatever."
Even though I really loved it.
I think that might. I'd like to see him go.
In total contrast to Johan Maestri, who was kicking up a right stink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there any other contenders? Who else is going to be in the frame?
Who have you got for Scotland, Phil?
Well, what about Kean Healy?
So, for me, because Kean Healy told last time, no.
Agreed.
So,
Yeah, I think Kieran Healy has had... So when he burst onto the scene probably 6-7 years ago, he was explosive and dynamic, and he's had kind of repeated injuries, hasn't he, since then? And he just doesn't seem to be the same player. His scrummaging is probably solid but not amazing. His ball carrying, solid, not amazing. Work rate, again, he's not the player he was.
Yeah. Four years' time, I think he's called John Porter, but 4 years' time, my Lions bolter for 2021 is John Porter from Leinster, who I think in the next year or two could potentially oust Healy from that bench spot at Leinster either.
Can we also get rid of... I know he's not played Six Nations, but he is still playing, and he does a lot of good work not in the scrum, and he can go both sides, Gethin Jenkins. Can we just say he's definitely not going?
He's in the bin. How old is Gethin Jenkins now?
He's very old. He's not that old. I think he's about 33, 34.
Oh, is he not older than that?
No, I don't think he is.
36.
Oh, he is.
And he's 37 this year.
Yeah, but, you know, he still does a lot of good work, and he does have flexibility.
He does.
Do you know who else has flexibility, who can scrummage on both sides of the scrum?
I wonder if you're going to go the same guy as I've got, because I've got a guy. And is he uncapped?
There's a guy that's uncapped that I can think of.
Kieran Brooks can scrummage both sides.
Yes, he can.
I don't think he'll get... He's not in the England squads. But I'm just interested in those guys who maybe could be surprises because of their utility nature.
I've got a bolter for you later on then, for the front row who can do both sides, isn't capped, doing well.
Okay, well, I've got one as well who could be a bolter.
Okay.
In terms of doing both sides, so Matt Stevens did travel last time, and he kind of occupied two roles. He could play both sides of the scrum, and he was a bit of a court jester type role. So that's also
a little bit too good on the beers, some might say.
Yeah, almost like he was enhanced somehow.
Okay, let's just move on.
So, you asked the question about the Scotland props. You got Alan Dell and Gordon Reid. Anyone think either of those are pushing?
No. Sadly not, no.
No. So it really almost selects itself, as in the two English guys, Mako and Marla.
Marla, 100%. I think Marla's been having a wonderful season.
So shall we say we Mako, McGrath, one from England, and then one of England or Ireland, Marla, Healy.
I'd go Marla.
Mako, Marla, and another guy.
Like above McGrath?
Yeah, I think
I'd put McGrath in.
And I'll tell you why. It's just because of the work rate you get from Marla. I mean, he's probably got even greater work rate than the Mako, especially in defence. He gets a lot of work.
He does.
And isn't it a brilliant resurgence by Joe Marla? We maybe haven't given him the credit because go back six months and there would be a big question mark next to him whether he's even England's matchday squad.
And it's the right sort of resurgence, not to be too... it's like very quiet, very hard, you know, good statistical work, which I like.
Yeah, the graft, isn't it? Mm. It's really grinding out those performances.
So shall we move to Hooker?
Yeah, well, Lou said prop is selected. Well, let's do Tighthead, because I think Hooker might be a bit more of a contentious one. Again, I think Tighthead possibly. This might be a relatively short discussion.
So I think it almost selects itself, with the only caveat is, do you pick a finisher?
I probably think of a so-called finisher.
Kyle Sinclair would be the one.
There's a little bit that doesn't like the fact that this is now common vernacular, this phrase of finisher. I was hoping it might go away, but I know exactly what you mean. Kyle Sinclair is my third tight head.
So who would be your first choice, or first two?
Furlong and Nell. So not having played, I think when you look at the balance and the spread, if he can prove his fitness, when you look at the spread of the skills they offer... If you need a real rock scrummager, Nell. If you want a really explosive player, like you say, that can come off the bench and maybe in test matches as well, Sinclair. And you're sort of all-round everything, number one, Furlong.
It's weird, isn't it? This is one of the few times the Lions tour has gone away without a real nailed-on tight head, without that ability to say, that is definitely the guy.
Oh, Furlong's the complete standout number one by a mile, I'd say.
The only question mark over Furlong is, how long has he actually been performing like this? Yeah, he kind of burst onto the scene last year, 2016. Not much longevity, but I agree from the performances I've seen, he can do a bit of everything.
So, every one of these guys has aspects of being an extremely good player, but I don't think any one of them ties them all together. So I'll start with Nel. He's the only guy I can't really comment on because I haven't watched him domestically. I've got a snapshot of him in the World Cup where he was dominant, scrimmaging, but is he dominant at everything else? I simply don't have enough knowledge to say either way. Tad Furlong, yes, some great carries. Overall, some good...
How do we say his name? Is it Tig?
Ty.
I'll just go with Ty. Whichever. Ty Furlong.
great carrying. You've got that, you know, that bit against the All Blacks. But did he really stand out when Ireland were under pressure against Wales? I don't think he did. How about even against Scotland? No, not so much.
He did. He did man up well against France, though, against that monstrous French back.
So we're completely overlooking Dan Cole then.
Well, that's the point. I would come back to Dan Cole and say, you know, as much stick as he gets, and he does get a lot of stick. He does work hard, which is, you know, my primary concern.
He does look like an oversized baby as well.
He does scrimmage well, but he just gives away, in my mind, a lot of penalties. I'm sure statistically I'd be proven wrong there.
We were thinking maybe Ferguson might get a place on the plane with the spot that was opened by Nell's injury.
But would you take any Scotland prop?
I'm talking pre-Six Nations. We were sort of thinking with his Glasgow form, maybe Ferguson could be a bolter, but...
Let me finish that sentence.
Yeah, go on.
Why would you take any Scotland prop when all the Scotland props are in Australia anyway?
I see what you're saying. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of fringe players that have organised a holiday to New Zealand or Australia. Shane Williams will be doing that as well. He'll get in the squad somehow.
Tom Court speaking.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure Tom Croft has organised a little fishing holiday in Rotorua or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
So Furlong for definite.
Yeah.
And then what are we saying then?
So for me, it is... If WP Nel gets fit, he goes in.
Mm-hmm.
If WP Nel can't prove his fitness, you replace him with Dan Cole, and then you have Sinclair as your kind of third option.
No, Thomas Francis.
I'm not sure, no.
So that is... The Thomas Francis thing is incredibly interesting, because if Samson Lee had started every game in the Six Nations, we would be talking about Samson Lee for one of those shirts.
Yeah, you're right. Yes. Yeah, you're right.
But Thomas Francis... ousting Samson Lee means we're definitely not going to be talking about Francis, so therefore we're not talking about Samson Lee.
Isn't it? Yeah, you're right. You can look at the conversation one way. Should we consider Wales's first choice tight head throughout the Six Nations to go for the Lions, or should we consider Exeter's fourth choice tight head to go with the Lions?
Yeah,
I'm going to say Cole Furlong. It wouldn't surprise me to see Samson Lee. I don't really have much of a strong opinion on the third one.
Mine would be Furlong, Nel if fit, so I'm with Phil, so that's a consensus there. And then you both are mentioning Cole, and yet we're both mentioning Sinclair, so...
I'll go with Nel as well.
All right, Furlong, Nel, and is it Sinclair or Cole?
Cole. If it's out of Sinclair and Cole, it's got to be Cole.
You know what? I'm just thinking to a test match environment, Sinclair's work around the park is great. Some of his running is great, but his scrimmaging for both England and for Harlequins has question marks over. So if you're going to throw someone in at the deep end to a Lions test match in the cake tin, you're probably going to want Dan Cole, aren't you?
Wow.
But for pure banter purposes, someone who grew up literally thinking he was a dinosaur. That's what he admitted. He actually thought he was a dinosaur when he was a kid.
There we go.
Yeah, it's true.
Hard hitting facts.
It's true. But then you talk about finishers. Then are you missing a finisher? You've got is Cole or Nel the kind of guy you want coming off the bench?
So the question mark really is your front row. Do you want the risk of someone who can do a couple of outstanding things that could be better done elsewhere, or do you want the solidity of shoring up your pack? And I think with tight head prop in particular, the cornerstone of your pack, the finisher aspect is probably less important.
What's probably more likely is that the Lions manage to get to 60 minutes and in a close game, and they're trying to prevent New Zealand from running away with it or getting ahead, rather than trying to chase the game against New Zealand.
By the way, why can't Furlong do that finishing role?
I mean,
we've seen him run over the All Blacks. So.
Yeah.
All right, so there we go. Furlong, Nel, if fit, Cole.
Yes.
Now, can I just tease something?
Yeah.
There is an awful lot of fighting and battling that's going to go on in New Zealand. But there's going to be one particular battle which is going to be incredibly tense. Incredibly tense. And I'm going to talk about it all as soon as you talk about Cornerstone.
Outstanding. Well, you don't have to believe us. We've been ambassadors for Cornerstone for quite some time. But you don't have to believe us when we say it is the best razor on the market. You just need to look at all the amazing comments we get from our listeners who have tried the offer you can get through us, who are wowed by it. And also, just look at the awards. Well, a BBC television show recently did a some industry testing. And, you know, they're balanced and impartial, aren't they, on the
Absolutely.
BBC?
Absolutely.
Completely. A bastion of impartiality. And they had testing which came out and said Cornerstone is the best razor on the market. That just backs up the fact that the GQ Awards had them as the number one razor, beating Gillette, beating Wilkinson Sword. So if you use any other brand, you're using a substandard product. And what is more, for just £4, you can sample it for yourself, because by listening to us, you get a very special deal. £10 off your first order and a free engraved aluminium shaft engraved with your initials. So there's no reason not to. £4, less than a pint if you go out drinking in London, or 4 pints if you go out drinking in Bucharest. So cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, or
egg 10 at checkout.
Come on then, JB.
Right, so we have long been advocates of the brand Canterbury, who have done a magnificent job with this year's shirts. The thing is...
The untouchable jersey.
The untouchable jersey. The thing is, when the Lions take to the field in their beautiful Canterbury jerseys, they're going to be other teams that they're playing against. And I happen to have their jerseys. So, let me unveil to you the 5 jerseys that the Lions will be playing against. Now, I say unveil. They have already been unveiled, but we have them here in the flesh.
So, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean in the flesh?
Let me show you.
What do you mean in the flesh? You've been sent the actual jerseys.
Hold that.
Whoa. Whoa, this is exciting. Oh, my word. Oh, wow.
How many of them are in medium?
Suspiciously, they're all in large, or extra large. I don't know why.
That's mine and JB's size.
Yeah, weird. So, all of these jerseys, they've designed with their... Let me get this right. Based on maps of the province where they come from, and with a kind of... Was it a battle-ready camouflage? So that is why we've got them. So the first one that you can see here is the
Highlanders.
For the benefit of the video, shall I hold it up?
Yeah. Go for it.
Go and have a look at our Facebook video. And on the back it says, so it's the Highlanders, University of Otago on the back, Pulse Energy, the sponsors.
Cool, aren't they?
They are.
So each one of them has got like a small story. This one here is the Crusaders one. That's pretty smart.
I do like Adidas clobber.
So, on the sleeve, Tim, as you've got the same, on the sleeve there is a GPS coordinate.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Yeah, there is.
And also, not on the Crusaders one, but some of them have got some Maori insignia. I'm not even going to attempt to read that. So one of them
Highlander says Pride of the South on it.
This is your beloved Canes.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
I do like that.
Nice, isn't it?
The colouring of the Canes is excellent. The colouring of the colouring of them all actually is excellent.
Yeah. So these are going to go up next to our Lions jerseys, the Blues. Imagine Jerome Kano in that.
Well, imagine Sonny Bill Williams in that.
Is it Blues? No. That?
Yeah, he's Blues this
Sonny, year. Sonny Bill Williams, you need to pair that shirt with some under 10 shorts for Sonny Bill.
And my personal favourite, of course, is... The Chiefs. Look at that.
Imagine how evil Damian McKenzie will look wearing that.
So, do you know what, though? That I can only really imagine these shirts on one person, and that is Sonny Bill. I always think, like, how would a shirt look best? It's on a partnership of Robbie Fruin and Sonny Bill.
Both of them stood next to each other.
God, there's a picture of them playing for Canterbury together.
Yeah.
Goodness me, they look good.
What a centre partnership.
What a terrifying prospect.
Is there anyone we need to thank for that, JB?
Yeah, Adidas, of course.
Thank you very much, Adidas.
Wow.
So, they do make good kit.
Can I get the Canes one in a medium, please, Adidas?
Yeah, you can get all sorts, mate.
I really like that Highlanders one. I like the colours.
Yeah,
yeah, I like them all, but they're all going up in the dungeon.
Beautiful stuff.
So, good work, JB.
Good work.
Thank you very much.
Back to our selection then. So well done, boys. We've done props. Let's get on to hookers then and round off this front row.
So two captains from the Six Nations squads are hookers, Best and Hartley.
Neither of which will go.
Neither of which will go.
Maybe Best will.
Best will go. I would select. Well, no, this isn't about what we think will go. This is our selection.
Yes. I think there's a chance all three could go. I would have question marks over
all
Hartley.
All three?
Sorry. Both. I'm also then thinking of Jamie George. So both yeah. both of them could go.
So I'm. My first name on that plane is Jamie George.
Probably yes.
Then it's Ken Owens.
I can see that.
And then it can be one of the national captains, probably Best.
Again, yeah, I can see that.
My selection is Owens, I think, has earned his spot on the plane with his performances.
Yep.
Jamie George, yes. I'd like, at that point, I think they're your two best hookers. Yes, I can see going for Rory Best. He's experienced captaining a side beating the All Blacks in the last 6 months. And he's got a lot of test caps to his name. Maybe in another era of Irish rugby, he wouldn't have got nearly as many caps. But I don't want to denigrate how good a player he is, because he is very good.
He's got good leadership skills as well. But, I mean, that might be critical here.
But I want Tommy Taylor in.
Ooh.
I want to take Tommy Taylor.
There's a guy who is an international, not been playing much, but he's playing out of his skin. I would say he's playing better than Tommy Taylor in the Premiership. That's Richard Hibbard.
He had a great game against Gloucester a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
against Bristol a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. I personally wouldn't take Hibbard. He does some good stuff, and he also does some bad stuff.
I haven't seen much bad stuff. He reads defenses. He reads attacks very well.
He's a guy that should take a holiday in the Southern Hemisphere somewhere.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, keep his phone on.
And also, he was so integral. I can't say it now.
Integral.
Integral, thank you, to what Warren Gatland used to do. And is it that hard to kiss and make up?
So are we all generally agree? Jamie George, Ken Owens, Rory Best. They are three.
Yes. Now Hartley, for two reasons, I don't think should go. One, so Eddie Jones has managed to tame the beast, but only when he's been in an England shirt. As soon as he goes back to Northampton, he's his usual self, and he's had so little game time in the past 12 months. He's only played for England, not played any at all for Northampton, apart from forearming Sean O'Brien into the head. I just can't see him playing. I can't see him travelling.
This sounds like an idiot thing to say, but he doesn't strike me as being tremendously popular. I might have that wrong, but among his peers, I think among his immediate peers, his England team, he is very popular. Why, outside of that, within like Premiership circles, he doesn't seem to be universally loved.
Yes, I can go with that.
So that could play into something. At least
you like a pantomime villain for storylines and stuff, don't you? Maybe for the press purposes, Hartley would be a good one to go.
And a Kiwi as well.
And can you imagine the All Blacks getting underneath his skin?
Oh,
because they would. They absolutely would, especially in his home.
Have you ever seen the video of
Welcome Home, Brew?
Yeah, exactly.
Have you seen the video of who could potentially be his opposite man, Dane Coles, where Coles gets smashed by Michael Hooper?
No.
And Coles, like, reacts and just spends the next 30 seconds, like, screaming in Michael Hooper's face, and Hoops just kind of, like, casually walks off.
Oh, dear.
Could you imagine if Dane Coles was doing that to Hartley? He's not just going to casually walk off, is he?
No, he's not.
He's going to get under his skin a little bit.
The mist will descend.
Yeah.
So our nine spots in the Lions' front row are Mako Vunipola, Jack McGrath, Joe Marler, Ty Furlong, WP Nell, Dan Cole,
yep.
Jamie George, Ken Owens, Rory Best.
Let me give you my uncapped, not Bolter, but my uncapped player who might be considered. And that is Maxwell Heath playing both loose and tight.
So Maxwell Heath is the one I thought of.
The guy that moved to Australia to play for Australia. And then came back a year later because it didn't really work out.
Yeah, but it's not easy, you know? It's not easy to go both sides.
So the only reason I was thinking of him is, yes, he is a potential bolter, and there's not actually that many. It's quite hard, and he can play both sides.
Yeah.
I'm not advocating that he goes, but
no,
there are not many, particularly because of the specialty of the position these days. Historically, you used to get lots of players who would be a bench player who could play both sides. Now, you don't. You have dedicated loose heads and dedicated tight ends.
He could do some good photo shoots for the marketing people. Tops off.
100%.
With that rig. So there we go. So of that, quickly then, select your... Well, here we are, night before the... Or 2 days before the first test, your starting front row, Phil.
Mako, Best, Furlong.
Mako, George, Cole.
McGrath, George, Furlong. With Mako as a finisher.
Okay.
I can see Mako as a finisher. I just think he's almost too good not to have on the pitch for 50 minutes.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Before we go on to second rows, I have a Lions-based quiz.
Five questions.
Play along as you're listening. JB versus Phil. Keep a note of your answers and we'll come back and do those in a minute. So, who was the last player to be selected for the Lions before playing for their country? We were just talking about uncapped players.
Make a note of it.
So question one, who was the last player to be selected for the Lions before playing for their country? Question two, who missed two late penalties for Australia in 2013 as the Lions held on for a 23-21 victory in the first test?
Sorry, read that again?
Who missed two late penalties for Australia in 2013 as the Lions held on for a 23-21 victory in the first test?
Okay.
What is the name of the Lions mascot? The old one was replaced on the last tour. The last mascot was replaced in 2013. What's the name of the current Lions mascot? Okay. One player has played for and against the Lions. He played for the Lions against South Africa and in 2009. And against the Lions 4 years earlier.
4 years.
Which would be 2005, so I'll leave you to work out. That was the tour of New Zealand.
So he played against them?
So one player played for the Lions in 2009 against South Africa and against the Lions, not for New Zealand, but on the New Zealand tour.
Right, okay.
Obviously, because you can't play international rugby for...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
And final question, Johnny Wilkinson, and there's a point for don't worry, it's just closest wins. Johnny Wilkinson is the top point scorer for the British and Irish Lions in test matches. How many points has he scored?
Ooh.
Nearest wins the point.
Okay.
Just in test matches,
yeah.
So in South Africa, did he play in a test?
Yeah, just in test matches.
No, sorry.
The question before.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The player
he played for the Lions against South Africa.
Yep, in a test. Oh, yeah.
Against South Africa in 2009.
Yeah.
And he played for a team on the New Zealand tour against the Lions in 2005.
I think I got it.
And that final question, the number of points Johnny Wilkinson has scored.
Okay.
In test matches for the Lions, he's the top point scorer.
All right. So answers?
Answers. The last player to be selected for the Lions before playing for their country.
I believe it's Will Greenwood.
Will Greenwood.
Correct. Well done.
Yeah, well,
you're going for the ding sound.
It's going for some. You got
your own bell. Just use. Let me use the bell. Your left. You got the real bell. Use the real thing. Ding. There you go. Okay. Next question was, who missed two late penalties for Australia in 2013 as the Lions held on for a first test victory?
I know.
KB.
Curtly Beale.
Curtly Beale is correct. 2 from 2. Okay. What is the name of the Lions mascot? It was changed in 2013.
Lenny?
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I've got Leo.
Leo was the name of the old, like the current mascot, which changed on the Australia tour, is Billy.
Sorry, what is the new mascot? Is it still
it's another, it's another stuffed toy lion.
It's just a different lion.
Why? What was with the old one?
Because some unspeakable things happened to it in 2009 that we can't talk about.
Wait, okay. Was Ellis Genge on that tour?
That was the question we got asked more than any other.
Quiet.
In Romania.
I'm going to press stop. Right. Move on.
Okay. One player played for and against the Lions. For the Lions in 2009 against South Africa and against the Lions on the tour of New Zealand 4 years earlier.
I've got no idea. So I've guessed.
I know the game where he played. So 4 years earlier. So I'm going to...
So
can we carry on guessing?
What game?
So we get it.
What game do you think he played in?
It was in Cardiff. It was a draw. Lions versus Barbarians. That was the game.
Did Lions not warm up against Argentina for that tour?
Oh, you're right. They did. Wasn't a Barbarians game.
So my guess, which is probably wrong, was Tom Croft.
So how would he have played against? Oh, he might have been...
So he would have been quite young, like 1920 in 2005.
If your guess is Tom... Oh, no, because he didn't play in the tests. Oh, this has messed it up somewhat.
Right, who are you going to say?
Well, I've got a list of players that could have played. But now I'm completely all at sea. So, what games did they play over in New Zealand? So they warmed up against...
Well, they just played... So they just would have played New Zealand provincial teams, wouldn't they?
Yeah, so the only one I can think of is Tom Wood, who played provincial. But he never played.
Oh, no, because it wouldn't have been 2009. Oh, I know.
No, you don't.
Ricky Flutie.
Correct!
Oh, correct!
Oh, bang, no. bang,
he
bang.
He played for Wellington.
God damn it.
In 2005, and he played in the third test against South Africa in 2009.
Yes!
Right, so, JB, you need to get closer than Phil on this one, otherwise
55.
Phil has won. Top point scorer in test matches. JB, you went out early with 55.
Yeah.
So, should I go for what I've written down, or should I just go
for go for what you've written down.
So, I wrote down 66.
One of you is very, very close.
Me.
One of you is 1 point away.
Me.
67.
Oh, no.
That's unbelievable, Phil. I should have known that Phil would have done some quick brain calculations.
God damn it.
Great effort. 4-2 victory for Philip.
Oh, well deserved. It's a nice little jingle, Jay.
Thanks.
Second row. Five lock positions then, although there are utility players which could change things slightly.
That does make it more interesting because there's two utility players who I think should be in consideration in Itoje and Henderson.
Yeah.
So, where do you start?
All right, so first of all, I would like to get rid of the idea that Itoje is a utility player. I think he's an out-and-out lock who just happens... You know, he can do it because he's that good.
Yeah, he's a lock who could sit on the bench as a utility player.
It isn't like a Henderson situation where people are like, is he a six? Is he a second row? We don't really know.
Although Hendo looked great at lock as well, didn't he, against England.
He's a hell of a player. He's got a bit of a Lions feel about him as well.
He's got like proper farmer strength, hasn't he? He's much stronger than he looks like he should be.
Yeah. But so the reason I bring into the utility player is not necessarily because of a test match, because you'd probably want them in their best position, but having the advantage of putting people in different positions for the provincial games is actually quite a big thing.
Mm. Okay, so I don't think anyone from any nation gets into second row outside of England. Sorry, other than Alan Wynne outside of England.
Johnny Gray?
No.
I'm actually, the more I've watched of Johnny Gray over this tournament, I'm aligning with Jay on this. He is a tremendous workhorse, brilliant, but that is what defines his game. Yeah, and there are other people who do the work rate and do more.
Tim Swinson, for instance.
In a very something that JB will hate, bearing in mind discussions we've had in the past about South African politics, I think if there was a 50-50 call to be made, Johnny Gray would get the spot politically. But I think he would deserve it as well. I don't want to patronise his selection, but Scotland need to have some representation on the tour, and Johnny Gray is one of those few players that can.
Yeah. There's a lot of players that could. There's a lot of players that are good enough, but I just don't think he deserves it, quite frankly.
So, Maro Itoje in.
Yeah.
Alan Wynne-Jones in.
Yeah.
Although there's a little asterisk next to him with his fitness. Potentially out till the end of the season. We'll wait and see on how that develops.
Cruis in.
Cruz on past form, I'd select him.
Laws in.
Well, I'd put Launchbury ahead of Laws.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people think Laws should be ahead of Itoje. I've heard that an awful lot recently. So that Laws has to go. Laws has been outstanding over the Six Nations.
Yeah, both him and Launchbury.
So. And he is the one that really offers the flexibility. I mean, people say Itoje, well, he wears six.
But Laws was packing down at six half the time.
So, I mean, no one's talking about Laws as the flex guy.
Oh, this is so hard to call. So come on,
I really would like to see Hendo in there.
I would.
I think he is quality player.
So who drops out? So you're going Itoje, Alan Wynne-Jones, Launchbury, Cruz, Hendo. They're your five.
With Laws dropping out for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm having Laws over Henderson.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So the England four plus Alan Wynne.
And Tim, you get the deciding vote.
I think
Laws or Hendo, basically.
I think blindside is such a strong position for the flank at. But oh no, actually, is it? Yeah. Oh.
It depends.
Oh man, this is. we're saying no Johnny Gray in our Lions squad.
No, not for me.
So no, okay. I think me and Jay are both aligned on that.
That's fine. That's fine.
Excuse me.
I think that will raise a few eyebrows, I think, but I can understand your logic. So Maro Itoje's in, Alan Wynne-Jones is in. We're all agreed on Joe Launchbury. We're all agreed on George Cruz, and then it's Henderson or Laws.
Yeah,
correct.
I go Hendo.
So me and you. Agree, Tim.
No, accountant looking Devin Toner.
No, he's played very well.
Yeah, but there you go.
Donica Ryan has played very well.
One Irishman, one Welshman, three Englishmen. We're going to be called parochial for that call, but there you go. Bring it on. So, starting test match locks then.
Oh, this gets difficult.
Itoje and Launchbury.
I would be tempted to go Alan Wynne-Jones and Launchbury.
Oh, yeah. Alan Wynne-Jones and Itoje, then.
I'd be tempted Alan Wynne-Jones and Launchbury with Itoje on the bench.
Simply don't know.
Oh, my God.
I know.
I can't call that. I'll go Itoje and Alan Wynne.
But you could very easily find ourselves in a situation in a couple of months' time where Cruis... back to fitness, played in the knockout stages of
exactly
the Premiership, the knockout stages of the European Champions Cup.
He is a dominator.
And has been outstanding in all of them. Because I don't think I've ever seen Cruz have a bad game.
No. Double Premiership winner, double European winner.
Oh.
And his lineup. So you two both mentioned having Jamie George starting. Having Cruz, who calls the lineouts at Saracens, calls the lineout at England, playing with Jamie George. That's actually quite a big deal.
Yeah, huge deal. Huge, huge deal.
So, Courtney Laws and Johnny Gray, get yourself a holiday booked somewhere around the Australia-New Zealand area. So, we move on to back row then. The final... In fact, before we go on to back row, let's have another brief little interlude because I think we should just take a moment again to thank the wonderful people at Raging Bull for our tour attire.
Yes.
And Raging Bull are bringing you tour stories ahead of the Lions. So ragingbull.co.uk is where you can get your leisure attire for your club tour.
Your tour attire.
Or whatever, your tour attire, yeah. You can get, obviously, hang on there and get your Egg Chasers tie to go with that. But here's a tour story then. So the professionalism of the tour as it currently is probably means that the amateur days are kind of dead. There might be a couple of beers on an evening, on a day off, but realistically, there's quite a lot of teetotalers in the Lions, the last Lions squad.
No, there's not.
Sam Warburton's teetotal.
No, he's not. So
yeah, he is, isn't he?
Well, see, it's quite funny. I think, from a media point of view, they are told to say you're teetotal, right? So if a news reporter comes around and says, hey, Sam Warburton, what's your favourite drink? He's, oh, I don't really drink, actually. And then deflect the question, and everyone assumes it. Donny Cipriani didn't drink, allegedly.
Well, I've read an interview with Billy Vunipola where he said he doesn't drink.
Yeah.
And we all saw a few weeks ago him coming out of a club in Dublin.
Yeah, he might have had one or two.
Maybe one or two.
So yeah, I'm pretty sure they all say, oh, I don't really... They don't say they never say I'm teetotal.
There's a handful who do. Peter Stringer.
Yep.
Johnny Wilkinson.
Yep. Maybe even Johnny Wilkinson has the odd glass of wine.
He probably, as he's mellowed, certainly in the World Cup. Have you read the interview with him where he was talking about winning the World Cup?
Yeah,
he didn't want to drink because he wanted to remember everything.
Yeah, and he just said... I didn't really know what to do. I had my hands in the air and was just running around not knowing what to do. And then you read Mike Tindall describing exactly the same thing. And he's like, I made a beeline for the champagne. It was just champagne and then tinnies all the way, like for 3 days until I got home.
I do love that World Cup, that when Johnny Wilkinson and Will Greenwood are like doing Ring a Ring of Roses, just going, World Cup! World Cup! Well, thank you to Raging Bull. There's going to be an opportunity in the coming weeks for you and your team. Maybe you're going on a pre-season tour or a summer tour to get your tour attire as a prize. So get thinking about tour stories you might have. But here's a Lions tour story brought to you by Raging Bull. Blair Paddy Main. Is that a guy you've heard of before?
No, it's not.
I can't say it is.
Okay. So he's a man who has every claim to be being described as the hardest drinking, freest swinging firebrand in the long history of the Lions.
Wow.
He was an Irish lock, a one-time university heavyweight boxing champion. He toured in 1938.
Sorry, can I just tell you how old this story is? Can you imagine any university even having a boxing society anymore?
Yeah. He toured in 1938. His great running gag was to burst into his teammates' rooms in the middle of the night, knocking the doors off the hinges, then systematically smashing up all furniture. Until all chairs and tables and everything were looked like bits of kindling around the room.
Yeah, so I'm gonna have to interrupt you again now, Tim. So
not that's only, fine. No, interrupt away. Yeah,
not only is this old, right? These are the days when this is serious. So do you know, like when you're a kid and the new TV was a big deal? You got a new TV once every 10 years. It's same with furniture. Like if you want a bit of furniture, you can nip down to IKEA and you can get one for a 20 quid table or something. These days, or them days, I should say, these were sculpted by like cabinet makers. Yeah. You know, you couldn't get a cheap table from a mass-produced Swedish retailer.
Multinational, yeah.
Like, you know, this is serious shit.
The management despaired of Maine, who used to run around with Welsh hooker Bunner Travers. The two of them once dressed up as sailors and snuck off to the Durban docks just so they could pick fights with the local longshoremen.
What?
When they got to Ellis Park, they found the stands were being erected by a team of convicts from the local prison who were sleeping in a compound underneath the scaffolding.
Better times.
Blair and Bunner befriended one of the prisoners and asked him what he'd done to merit a sentence. Stealing chickens, the man said, and I've been given a 7-year stretch. Full of sympathy for their new companion, who they nicknamed Rooster, Blair and Bunner returned that night with a pair of bolt cutters and spare clothes. They sprung Rooster and set him free. When he was caught the next day, it turned out that the jacket he was wearing still had Maine's name stitched on the inside.
Oh, no.
Just good days.
Amazing.
Amazing story.
And to think, Manu Tuilagi got in trouble for jumping off a ferry.
Yeah, so the final straw here. So in desperation, the management decided to make Mayne share a room with the fly half George Cromie, who also happened to be a Presbyterian minister. But even Cromie couldn't stop him sneaking off from an official dinner to go on a late night hunting trip with a group of men he'd met. Who were carrying rifles and lamplights. Cromie waited up for his roommate till 3 a.m. and just as he was nodding off, Mayne broke down the door and announced, "I've just shot a springbok." He had the springbok dead antelope draped over his shoulders and said that he did it because some of the boys were complaining the meat wasn't fresh enough.
Oh my God.
They told him to do one, and in the end he left it outside the room of the South African manager with a note saying, "A gift of fresh meat from the British Isles touring team."
Wow.
Different times, great days.
So, God, I hate my life.
I've just looked up Robert Blair Paddy Mayne. His accomplishments in this order are, so, solicitor... British Army soldier,
yeah.
Ireland rugby international, British and Irish Lion, amateur boxer, and get this one, founding member of the Special Air Service, the SAS. Oh. In 1941, he was a founding member of the SAS.
Good God!
What a man! Is there a more alpha male man?
Oh my God!
Ever.
That wow. is truly remarkable.
I am gobsmacked. what a horrible society we live in.
He won a Distinguished Service Order medal with three bars: the Légion d'honneur and the Croix de Guerre. He's just an incredible man, Paddy Mayne.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm speechless.
Lions Tour Tale brought to you by RagingBull.co.uk. Get your tour attire there. Right, back row.
Ooh, it's going to get hot again in the back row.
Now, this is the most interesting one, isn't it? Because this is the most open to interpretation, if that makes sense.
Yes. So you can take this lots of different ways, I think, is what... Well, that's the way I'm interpreting what you're saying.
Back row do lots of different things, don't they?
Yeah.
As we found out with when I asked for Peter O'Mahony to play for Ireland.
And about two weeks before when I'd done the same.
So
should we pick the number eights? Because I think on the flanks, do you need two specialist number eights as were last time?
Let's start with number eights, because number eights are pretty much universal, aren't they?
Yeah.
As in, they do number eight stuff.
So it's Vinopola, and then it's... Faletau needs to prove himself in the final games of the season for Bath. Unfortunately for him, they don't have high level European competition. But because you could have Stander as the second eight potentially,
you could take him as a flanker and then as an auxiliary eight, couldn't you? Because he was brilliant against England.
I think that Nathan Hughes is the second eight in the absence
ahead of
Faletau. Well, in the absence of Faletau being 100% fit and 100% proven this season, yeah.
So. I think we will get to see between now and the end of the season. He will be playing, or he's most likely to be playing knockout Aviva, and he will be playing knockout European Challenge Cup rugby. I would personally go for Faletau.
If he's 100% fit, I'm in with Faletau.
Okay.
But then the third guy.
Well, this is where having Hendo as one of your locks maybe opens up that opportunity to go, do you know what? We'll have Vunipola, Faletau. And we can have someone else who can play.
We could have CJ Stander as a six or eight.
Well, how about
or you could even have Hughes in your squad because you've got Hendo that can and Anatoji that can.
Heaslip.
Oh, Heaslip.
So Heaslip is playing tremendously well.
Yeah,
I know. I said it before the Six Nations, and he played very well in that. But I am just starting to wonder: is it a tour too far for Heaslip?
Well,
particularly with like the explosive athleticism of Vunipola and Faletau, and potentially Nathan Hughes.
I'm on record as saying that Heaslip is the Patrick Cliver of rugby. He's a flat track bully, but I was simply wrong. There are plenty of games where he's stood up and played extremely well. The All Blacks game, he was outstanding. Most of Six Nations, he's been very, very good.
Yeah.
So I can't really continue on that line of thought. If anything, his leadership qualities have improved, which is quite something. I don't think it is a tour too far for him. If you're playing well enough, undoubtedly he is, and if he was fit, he would have started in the Ireland back row, which is no mean feat.
You're right, it is no mean feat. And so he doesn't bring the explosive ball carrying that Faletau or Vunipola do.
No.
Something he does bring is exceptional hands and exceptional intelligence. So it depends. So for me, it depends how you're going to balance the rest of the back row. Because if you can get that from somewhere else, like a Tipperick or like a Robshaw, you don't need a slip.
Should we pick our kind of nailed on have to go and then see where we are after that? Because I imagine that might be the process they go through.
I would do that, right? Except for the there's a problem. I don't know who the nailed on guy is. Definitely Billy Vunipola. Everything else.
And Warburton.
Yeah,
is he?
I would say Warburton is.
I think so. But both on form and in the roles that he can do, he can play six, he can play seven. He's one of the best at the breakdown. CJ Stander would be the other one. So I think you've got three guys there that straight away have to go, which leaves, what, four or five spots left?
They took seven last time, so four spots left.
So Vunipola, Stander, Warburton are on the plane.
Yep.
If we take Faletau as our second number eight, if he can prove his fitness, Heaslip potentially, yep. If not, or Hughes. I'd put Heaslip above Hughes personally, but... okay, so Faletau there, that's four, so we've got three spots left.
So for me then, you almost look at... because you could argue that Vunipola, Stander and Warburton, they are your first choices, and they all fit six, seven and eight.
Yeah. Mm.
You almost say, right, who does those jobs almost as well? Yeah. So
do you want more of the same or do you want options?
Well, I'm almost... So
the breakdown and line-out work of Amani gets him on the plane for me.
Can I tell you about a conversation that I had with an individual? I won't mention his name, but I had a conversation with an individual who knows a thing or two about rugby. And what came...
What did Steve Diamond say?
I
heard a great story about Steve Diamond, by the way. So very, very briefly. It's only a quick one.
What, you want to talk about Steve Diamond? Be my guest.
So it was Tier 2 rugby. I had a chat with someone. Apparently, after a Russia versus...
Oh, I've heard this.
A Russia versus Germany game in Hamburg, I think it was. Straight after the game, the referees and both sets of players went straight to the bar in their full kit. They went out in the town in their full kit still.
Amazing.
And the last thing that this person who told me the story remembers was Steve Diamond holding up two bottles of vodka, pouring it in players' mouths.
Well, I've heard the other one that his Russia team beat Georgia in Georgia. And they had to lock themselves in the changing room until all the crowd left.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, tasty.
Steve Diamond, the only man I literally can't interview, can't even get close to him. Yeah. I mean, I can get physically close to him, but he won't talk.
You were going to say something else then?
Yeah, so it's about, you know, having people that break down and having fetchers, if you like. So the theory being that having a fetcher is great, but having one fetcher is no good. You may as well have none. Having two is pretty much the same because they get targeted. You need about four fetchers in your pack, if not your wider squad, if that makes sense. Because otherwise, they just get smashed off the ball. So if, for instance, there is enough fetching ability between Itoje and Cole, that does open up the opportunity to have another fetcher on the flank and maybe a fourth guy at eight, because you can't target them all. If not, you may as well do what England do and say, oh, well, we've got no one who's a really good ground worker. Let's go for a Haskell type who works really hard and a really, you know, a much different looking back row.
So, when you mentioned this to me the other day, I thought it was fascinating.
Yeah.
And then you never think of it like that. But then when you think of it like that, you're like, right, yeah, that actually makes sense. If we're going to employ it as a tactic, we might as well have three or four of them. If not, almost... let it go, don't compete on the floor, and use your skills elsewhere.
Yeah. So it just made me think, does this Lions team have enough around the pack and maybe around the wider starting squad to do that? And if they don't, well then, does Warburton fit in? Do all these other ground workers fit in? I don't know.
Sorry, go on, Phil.
I was just going to say, so Itoje, who probably, he may be a starter, maybe on the bench, I think he topped the turnovers in the Six Nations this year, so he is a genuine fetcher.
Mm.
Even though he probably doesn't strike you as that type.
Well, he does for Saracens.
He steals a huge amount of ball. Yeah.
My seven back row then, I'll just go for it and pick my seven back row. As we said, Warburton, Stander, Vunipola.
Yep.
And then I go Faletau.
Yep.
Amani.
Mm-hmm.
O'Brien, mm-hmm. Robshaw.
What? Okay, so
a lot of people will say Tipperick. I'm more in the mind of partly flexibility, partly great players. Some people might say you need that kind of you need that groundwork player, and Tipperick is outstanding at doing a lot of the good things a seven does. Part of it is me willing Chris Robshaw on the plane, and a lot of people would raise their eyebrows.
Disagree with you.
I'm sure a lot of people might go Tipperick instead of Robshaw, and that's probably the seven that they'd go with as well, maybe.
So I look at back row in two ways. What can they do, as in what do I want my back row to do, and also how do they patch up the weaknesses in my team? So for instance, Wales use Tipperick as much as a line-out option as anything else, because line-out options aren't great, whereas, you know, Ireland don't have that. They use theirs as extra carriers because their carriers aren't
Armani
until Armani came in,
and whose lineup work is superb.
Yes,
so Warburton, yes, I think he will go. I'm not sure how important he's going to be compared to other tours.
Right, so we're saying Warburton, Stander, Vunipola, Faletau in. Who are the three others?
So that's yeah.
So the, contenders okay. are Armani, O'Brien, Robshaw, Tipperick, and any more?
Nathan Hughes. Hamish Watson's a handy player.
Hamish Watson, I think, will go.
John Barkley's been playing very well. Ryan Wilson's a great player.
Yep.
I personally don't think we're going to get a Scottish guy in the back row.
I think we'll get Hamish Wilson.
Hence why I think Johnny Gray will 100% go, even if it's on political grounds, despite the fact we haven't selected him in our squad.
So sevens.
I'll tell you mine, Tim. You've given me yours. So I would have Vunipola, Stander, Warburton,
yeah.
Faletau, Robshaw, Nathan Hughes, Sean O'Brien.
So basically we've traded. I've gone for Omani, you've gone for Hughes.
Yes, and okay. The reason I do that is because I think Faletau could be an exceptional number six.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
I would, to the point where I would want Faletau and Billy Vunipola in my starting back row.
Yeah, and I don't know who the seven's going to be. It's probably going to be Warburton. Do you know what? I'm with Tim. I would have Omar again, because he just strikes me as the kind of player. He gets a run of games in
Stander
the team.
Stander could shift across to eight.
He could do.
Yeah, and he can also come on late in the game. Stander's that kind of player. I just think Omani, if he gets a shot, is going to be very hard to keep out of the team.
Yeah, you are probably right. And he offers something different to some of the other guys.
He looks like he's going to kill a man.
So are we all...
We all agreed. So our starting Lions back row for test one, if we were picking it tomorrow, Billy Vunipola 8, CJ Stander 6, Sam Warburton 7, and
with Faletau on the bench?
With Faletau.
No, I'd go Faletau starting at 6, actually.
I would as
all
well.
All right, okay, yeah, I'm game on for that.
With CJ Stander on the bench.
CJ Stander on the bench, wow. There we go. So Faletau, Vunipola, Warburton, Stander on the bench, and Armani, O'Brien, and Robshaw.
Yes.
Robshaw, Tipperick is probably the one... question mark a lot of people might have off the back of that.
Yeah,
there you go. That was an exacting process, but I think we've thoroughly done it. We've done it as thoroughly as they will be doing it on April the 19th.
Well, if not more thoroughly.
Yeah.
What's our game of the week, Phil?
Oh yeah, our game of the week with leovegas.com, where our predictions could earn you You can get profit boosts on your first bet with leovegas.com. They love their rugby. They partnered up with Leicester Tigers and they wanted a podcast to partner up with. Obviously, they came to us. And thanks to that, you get the offer of a great deal. And you get the benefit of Phil's statistical wisdom as we look ahead to one game this coming weekend.
The game this weekend. So there is in this weekend... a couple of not so good games. For example, Exeter host Bristol, Sale host Worcester. Although that'll be relatively balanced.
Look forward to that one.
Newcastle host Gloucester. Not particularly looking forward to that one.
Why not? That'll be a good game. That'll be competitive.
It will be competitive, but it's more the wrong end of the table.
Okay.
One of the very interesting ones, particularly top four in mind, will be Bath hosting Leicester.
The big game at Twickers. They've sold out the whole lower tier.
Like, is that right?
Have they?
40,000-50,000 people, I think.
Awesome.
And they've opened up the upper tiers. Or yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That'll be a good day out. Good atmosphere.
It's gonna. This is bloody hard to call. So, whose home game is this?
So it's officially Bath's home game.
Right. Okay.
Which does. You almost feel that Bath are kind of losing out by hosting this at Twickenham.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm sure they'll get a bigger percentage of the gate receipts, but in terms of the importance of this game in the league table, it's
giving away the advantage of the Rec.
Yeah.
So,
mind you, the last time I went to the Rec to watch Bath, the last two times I've been to the Rec to watch Bath play, they've been hammered by Harlequins and Wasps, respectively.
Yeah. So, I actually think that the strength and depth Bath have in the pack is going to be telling, both in their front row rotation, which I think is superior to Leicester's, not maybe the starting front rows, but the rotation.
Yeah.
And also, I think they've got a more substantial and heftier pack. So that will be the difference. Having said that, I've said they've got a better pack. They've also got some exceptionally exciting backs. I think Bath are going to win this by 10.
So
I think the honeymoon O'Connor effect is going to be kicking in a little bit more.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think that's why they've brought that. That's why See, they've made I, the call now. I mean, it's very un-rugby-like to make a call to change a coach with two, within less than 24 hours after winning a trophy, and also with only five games left in the season.
See, I can't help but think that you're massively wrong here, Tim. If a coach is unpopular and gets fired and you're at the wrong end of the table, yeah, you get a honeymoon period. But Matt O'Connor isn't the honeymoon guy. He's the guy who's left to pick up the pieces after a substantial, sustained period of mourning.
There was a couple of weeks ago when the announcement was made, there was a few players I saw tweeting very unhappily.
Yeah.
Two I can think of particularly, Tulu Suvianu and Freddie Burns.
I'll tell you right now, those boys really, really like Major. They like Cockers. But they love Major to the point it was almost cult like. So, and he was doing some good stuff. I pointed out the game planning that they had against Gloucester. Well, Matt O'Connor's a fine coach. Matt O'Connor is a fine coach, I'm sure. But I don't think it's going to be a honeymoon period.
Oh, I'm just saying they've brought him in with that in mind. So we will see. I'll go for Leicester to sneak it away.
I'm going to say
points difference, Tim.
Leicester by 6.
I'm going to say. I think the backs broadly cancel each other out. Broadly, the forwards.
Faletau and Francois Lowe, they get that. Yeah. Oh, guys.
Having those two.
Actually, I'm going to change my mind. I'm changing my mind. Bath, with the players they've had out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give me Bath.
Bath by
5
I'm
for
gonna,
me.
Bath by 6. I've completely reversed. As fickle as I am, that's how little you should listen to me. But if you do listen and you do open up and you do get your double profit boost with leovegas.com, then you could potentially, if you make up your own mind or listen to Phil, you could bag yourself with leovegas.com some
enough of that.
Right, we are done. We'll be back next week with a selection for the backs on our Lions selection podcast part 2.
Of the players we've selected, how many do you think were from each nation?
Have you got one from Scotland?
One from Scotland, WPNL.
Three from Wales.
Four from Wales.
Maybe five from Ireland.
Seven from Ireland.
And the rest must be from France.
Nine Englishmen.
Englishmen.
Seven Irish, four Welsh and one Scottish.
We're going to get accused of being parochial there, but there you go.
Don't care.
Whatever, don't care.
Informed.
How many from North Wales? More importantly.
None.
Oh, I'm not interested.
Thank you very much for listening. Yeah, like I say, part 2 of the Lions selection will be the back line. Get in touch and tell us what you think of what we said. Tell us what you think in terms of the backs ahead. Get in touch with us whatever which way. Phil, you better fly back to... Where are you going back to?
I'm currently going back to the wine region, Franschhoek, South Africa.
Hell. Going back to hell.
I'm flying back to Yosemite.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Right now, in fact, I'll be there very soon.
Enjoy.
Thank you very much for listening. See you next time in a bit.
Bye.
Bye.